Catch the Seahawks spirit at Safeway. Purchase 3 participating products with your club card and you can win 2017 season tickets. You could also win a prize in one of our weekly giveaways. Just look for the shop and score participating player products. Don't miss the player of the week this week. Pick up Frito-Lay party-sized chips 2 for $7 with your club card. Safeway, the official supermarket of the Seattle Seahawks. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents residing in Alaska, Idaho, or Washington 18 and older. See official rules at shopscoreaobs.com. Ends January 3rd, 2017.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jaden Sterling, international best-selling author of the award-winning book, The Alchemy of True Success. And welcome to Soul to Profit Radio, where my guests and I share tips and strategies to help you, the enlightened entrepreneur, take your business to the next level. So make sure you grab paper and pen to write down these amazing tips and strategies that we're going to share with you to help you fill your soul and your wallet. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wealthy Wednesday. I'm your host, Jaden Sterling. It's great to be here with you. The weather has changed. Not that I'd like to talk about the weather, but boy, it's quite alarming what's going on. Calgary, we have in Alberta, we have snow already. And here I broadcast from my home in Invermere, British Columbia, and we have a very overcast, chilly day. It's getting colder out there, but we'll try to make it through. So we're going to heat things up today with a really fun topic called money mindfulness. Woohoo! It's going to be a good one. I hope you have paper and pen ready because I'm going to give you some amazing tips and strategies that are easy to implement. You're going to be able to start them today, right after the show. I promise you that. You're going to be able to become a little more conscious of your financial health, and we're going to help elevate your financial health today because it's so important. You know, the whole month of August we talked about freedom, and money is a component of having freedom, that's for sure. And we need to be quite disciplined as we approach this topic. It's not something that we can be lazy with. You know, a lazy approach to money doesn't really get you anywhere. I guarantee that. And before I dive into today's show, I just want to thank all my listeners who joined us this past Sunday for International Angel Day in Calgary. We had a blast. We had 200 people join us for a day of celebrating and learning and card readings, and there were vendors and booths there selling amazing jewelry and artwork and some really, really beautiful, beautiful creations all done from the heart and all angelically guided. It was really a fantastic day, and thanks so much to all of you who came up to me and said, I wanted to meet you. I listened to you on the radio, and I wanted to meet you. So thank you so much to those people who did that. It was such a fun way to finally meet everyone who I email with or talk to through Facebook. So thank you so much. It was a great day, and we have two events a year. Cindy and I host another event. It's called Spring Fling in May, so we're going to get information out on that shortly as to how you can participate. I know our VIP tickets for this past event sold out in literally, I think it was less than a day. In less than one day, all of them, all 53 tickets were scooped up. So we want everyone to have a fair and equal opportunity to, you know, to get the best seating they can, and also the most goodies you can, because we gave a lot of giveaways out throughout the day, and that was a lot of fun as well. So I'll definitely let you know about that. So today, financial health. Here we go. I hope that by listening to the show today, you can really start to make some changes in your life. You know, the first thing we need to do in order to make any change is to become aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, I've talked a lot on the show about being conscious of of the things that you buy, you know, are you really needing them, and being conscious of the thoughts that you have and then the reasons behind why you do what you do. And I'm going to address that because during, I don't know, some of you may know, others, new listeners might not know, but during my decade of the 20s, when I was in my 20s, not in 1920s, but when I was in my 20s, I was a financial planner with Merrill Lynch. I started with Merrill Lynch, and then I ended my career with Citigroup. And I learned a lot. I spent 10 years, met with thousands of people, discussed financial planning with their investments. And, you know, I want to bring that knowledge to you because I think it's important. Everyone needs to have a knowledge and a knowledge base and an understanding of how money works and how to save for the future and what that can do for you. It doesn't just happen magically. It happens by a disciplined approach. So if you, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have a financial pressing question that you can't figure out or something that you need additional feedback on, give me a call. I'm happy to do it. My phone number here is area code 626-231-0306. Again, that's area code 626-231-0306. I see some of you already on the switchboard. And if you'd like to ask me a question, just hit the number one button on your phone, and that will indicate to me that you have a question. Okay, so I want to share a story with you. And this, you know, it was over 25 years ago that I was in the investment business. But this person who came into my office, I'll never forget her, and I'll never forget her story. She was a woman in her early 70s. And she had over $1 million invested in what we call blue chip stocks, which are the biggest companies that trade on the stock exchange, the U.S. stock exchanges. And I asked her, I sat down, and with all my clients, I went through an interview process where we discovered, you know, where they were in their finances and what they wanted out of their investments, you know, what their goals were. And with her, though, it was a little different because I was very curious because she had never been married and she had never had a job that was any higher than back then they were called secretaries. There were, you know, now we call people like that in that role administrative assistants. Well, she called herself a secretary. She told me that she had been a secretary for 50 years. And every single time she got a little bit of extra money, she would put it into good quality stocks. And she said, you know, at times it was only $10 a month or, you know, an extra $15 or, you know, maybe she was able to put away $25. So I'm thinking about this, you know, when I'm sitting with her way back when, and I'm listening to what she's telling me, and I thought, wow, that didn't sound like a lot of money to me at the time. So how was it that she now had $1 million in her portfolio? So I asked the question, so, you know, that's incredible. So you clearly had a disciplined approach to saving. But how did you grow this money so quickly? I mean, you know, to such a large amount, not quickly, it happened over 50 years, but to such a large amount, how did you get $10 or $20 or $50 a month and grow it into $1 million? And she said, oh, well, what I did was back then she would look through magazines. And advertising was very expensive back then. It still is expensive today. But more so, color, ads in color were the most expensive. And she made a list of all the companies that were advertising in color. And those were the companies that she invested in because she figured that they were the companies that were probably doing the best financially because they could afford to buy colored advertising in magazines. And that is how she grew her little sums of money each month into $1 million. She kept putting money into it. She never touched it. And she knew that someday she would have a lot of money. So I hope you can think about that, you know, as your day goes along, and think about, wow, that's a powerful story where someone who was, you know, she wasn't a CEO of a company, she didn't own her own business, she had a job, she worked as a secretary, and she put $10 or $15, sometimes $25 a month away, and it grew into $1 million. And so today, I want to share with you some strategies as to what you can do right now to find that extra $15 or $50 or $25 a month so that you can grow your assets too. So let me just dive in, shall we? All right, there's a couple things that's going on in your household that are costing you a lot of money, and it doesn't have to. Electricity. Let's talk about electricity. We are all addicted to electricity, and I'll prove this to you. Think about it. The first thing you do when you walk into a room, what do? You turn on the lights, right? You reach for that light switch. It can even be daytime, and the sunlight is coming in through the windows, but you're still turning on that light. Now, sometimes we have to do it because we have to. You know, we need the electricity. We need to be able to see, which is fine. That's no problem. But I'm referring to all the other times that it's not necessary to have all the lights on in the house, or, you know, reach for that light switch just because you're used to doing it. So that's something. That's one strategy to ask yourself as you walk into a room, do I really need to turn the lights on? So we're starting now to become conscious and mindful when you become aware of why you do what you do. And that is what I'm going to talk about on with the show today. And now the other thing is you may or may not know that everything that is plugged into an outlet, every lamp, every computer, every printer, everything that you have, I'm looking around my office, everything that you have that's plugged into an outlet, whether it's on or not, turned on or not, is drawing electricity. In fact, I can prove it to you. Your TV, the reason that your TV turns on by a push of a button is because the TV is drawing power because it's plugged in, and that's how it turns on, by just pushing a button. So your TV is really already on. You're just waking it up. So everything that is plugged into an outlet, again, is drawing power. And power, as we know, is very expensive. Electricity is very expensive. So then it becomes a matter of doing those things that allow you to become aware of, oh, do I really need that extra light on right now? Do I really need to have the vacuum cleaner plugged in when I haven't been using it for the last week? You know, all these things affect your electricity bill and affect your bottom line. So give it some consideration, you know, about what you need to have actually plugged into an outlet and what you don't. You know, I'm in a habit now of when I walk by something, an extra lamp that I know that we don't use very often, I just unplug it. So that does tend to help and actually adds to a reduced electric bill, which means that you have more money to invest. So here we go. The other thing is, the only way for something that is plugged into an outlet, for instance, a lamp, a TV, computer, whatever, to not draw electricity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is to turn the outlet off at the breaker panel. Ours is in our garage. Sometimes it drives my wife nuts, but I'm really diligent about this. We have, for instance, we have a sauna in our house and a steam shower in our house, and we seldom use them, but they draw a lot of electricity. In fact, each are on a double breaker because they need so much power to operate. So I'm in the habit that I turn them off at the breaker, the main breaker. So what you need to do after the show today is find out where your breaker panel box is. Can be in the garage, kitchen, wherever, however your house is built, you'll find it in the basement maybe. Chances are it might be in the basement or definitely a garage. And look at, go down the panel and see, make sure each breaker is labeled and you'll know. You know, it might say basement outlets or master bath or kitchen or HVAC, that's the heating, ventilation, air conditioning unit. You know, all of these things will be listed, and see which ones that you're not regularly using, and it's quite safe to just flick the breaker from on to off. Nothing happens. It's no big deal. What it does do is it saves you money each and every month. Now, let me talk about the hot water tank, because a hot water tank in every house is a huge draw of electricity. Each tank holds, you know, it depends on how big your tank is, and typically they range from 30 to 50 gallons of hot water. And when they come set, they are set at the highest temperature, which is usually 150 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, a hot water heater is to heat all that water and hold the temperature that it's set for at all times so that you can have access to 30 or 50 gallons, however big your tank is, of literally scalding hot water, which is 150 degrees. And that's why you have now, so what we do is we heat up this water in our hot water tank to 150 degrees all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, continuously heating this water. No one ever needs 150 degrees temperature water. The only time you may need it is if you eat meat and you cook meat and you need to wash dishes and you need a really high temperature to kill the bacteria from the plates, whatever. But the majority of people can't handle 150 degrees scalding hot water on their body, so that's why we use a temperature regulator on a shower. You know, that's why shower faucets, you know, most people don't need super hot showers. So they know, they regulate that scalding hot water that's coming through the pipes into the shower with the shower faucet, so that reduces the temperature. But you don't need it that hot to get to the shower anyway. So what I recommend is adjust the temperature gauge to 120 degrees. This alone will save you anywhere from $20 to $30 a month on your electric bill, just by making that adjustment from 150 to 120. 120 degrees is still super hot. You'll have a nice warm bath and be able to do hot dishes later on, no problem. Second, you can buy an insulated cover for your hot water heater. There, you can find them at any home hardware store, whatever, Home Depot, wherever you go. It goes around the exterior of the tank, and it actually holds the heat in. It keeps it in, so you're not, your tank is not having to draw as much electricity to keep that water heated at all times. Now, I came from Florida, and my hot water heater tank was actually in my garage, which was hot all the time. So I seldom had to I set my hot water tank at that point to 90 degrees because I didn't need the additional heat from the unit itself. My garage was always hot, so it was really a great way to reduce money that way. Additionally, when you know that you're going away for a week or more, turn your hot water heater and your oven and your washer and dryer off at the main breaker to save money. There's no reason that these appliances have to be, the breakers have to be on while you're away, and there's no reason to spend money on electricity if you're not even home. You know what I'm saying? It's like, just help yourself out there. Turn them off at the breaker. I'm in a habit, probably drives my wife nuts, bless her heart, but she doesn't say much. I'm in a habit of going around the house before we leave on a trip, and I unplug everything I can, and I switch as many breakers off as I can, and the extra days that we're not here, we're not using it, it's no big deal, and it keeps our electric bill super, super affordable. Okay, next, the fastest way to increase your financial health and well-being is to reduce the amount of money you spend on unnecessary items. The truth is, our society is set up to separate you from your money. It's that simple. Can I say it again? Our society is set up to separate you from your money. Billions of dollars are spent every year on advertising to make you think you're not, quote, hip or, quote, in if you aren't wearing the latest fashions or driving a fancy car while wearing expensive jewelry. You know, the reality is consumerism can be financially fatal. I've seen many people who are tens of thousands of dollars in credit card debt, and they don't know how they got there. Well, they got there because they went unconscious as they were spending. They were trying to fill, chances are they're trying to fill an emotional need with shopping. We even have a word for it. We call it shopping therapy. And we joke about it, and there's nothing funny about it, particularly when people don't have, if you don't have the money to buy something, to buy it on credit card is just financially fatal, because that credit card interest is not simple interest. It's called compound interest, meaning however much money you have on that card, the interest gets compounded each month, and the minimum payment for most credit cards is only enough to cover a small portion of that interest payment. Not even all of the interest payment is covered in a monthly credit card bill. So you may see that, I have $5,000 on this credit card and I only have to pay $49 a month or whatever credit card bills are. I don't know. The $49 is minimal. That $49 is, you're going to be making that $49 payment for 20 years. Literally 20 years on that credit card, and in 20 years it still won't be paid off because it's not, you know, and it's designed that way. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here. Credit card companies know what they're doing. They know that as long as they have you only pay a portion of the interest payment, that payment of interest that is not being paid is compounding and adding to your debt. So it's a compounding financial disaster. And I really recommend that many of you, if you have any credit card debt, do not go to credit card counseling companies. Don't do that. They charge you more and more money on top of it, and you yourself can negotiate with the credit card companies directly as long as you have a history of making payments on time. So, I mean, literally buck it up. Make a spreadsheet. Do what you have to do. I've talked on other radio shows about this strategy on how to negotiate a lower consumer rate debt for yourself on your card. You can do this. I forget what show it was on, but send me an email and I'll direct you to the right show because I talked about this in length and I'm not going to repeat myself. So, let's get real here. The reality is, like I said, you know, our society is geared that way. I even saw President Bush at the time when 9/11 happened, September 11, 2001, in the United States, when the World Trade Centers got, what happened there, got knocked down with the planes. And I'll never forget, President Bush came on the TV and he said, you know, this is not a time for mourning or healing or anything like that. What he said was, people, we have to get the economy back on track. Go out and start spending money. Honest to goodness, that's exactly what he said, and I'm sure the videos in the I'm sure there's tons of video of it going around, and it's in the archives because it was so appalling, and yet so true. The economy functions. It's a function of money, and money is what fuels the economy. It's what fuels industry. It fuels the consumerism, capitalism. It's a really, really sad, sad cycle, and we are deeply entrenched in it, and it affects our environment. You know, and that's a whole other show that I'll talk about some other time, but every time you buy a product, you have to think about where it originated. Chances are it was in a country like China where they manufactured it. Then it got shipped over to the United States or Canada, U.S., wherever you are listening to the show. And there's packaging involved, and that packaging creates waste, and it fills our landfills, and we're polluting the environment with all of this consumerism, all these products made, and it's not helping you out one single bit. So I'll just relax here a minute because I'm getting all fired up. But here's why. This is why I'm so passionate about this, okay? Recently, I read an article in Bloomberg, and I'll quote part of this because I think it's really powerful. It says, the Federal Reserve's wealth effect is in short supply. According to a new report from the central bank, 25% of American households say their families are, quote, just getting by financially. And another 13% are, quote, finding it difficult to get by. So if we add those two percentages up, we've got 38%, nearly 40% of our population are having a difficult time compared to 5 years earlier. And 34% feel like they are worse off today, while the same number feel about the same. It was only 30% reported that they were somewhat or much better off financially. This means the reality is, folks, 126 million people are either finding it difficult to get by or are just getting by. Now, that's alarming to me, I think. That's just incredible to me that we have to live in one of the most advanced societies. North America is the most advanced technologically, and we can't even function. We can't get by. I mean, I read an article just the other day that a gal had worked four jobs just to get by, and she was sleeping in her car to catch up on her rest before her next job, and she left her car running, and a tank of some kind of gasoline had spilled in the back, and she asphyxiated. She died from it because she was thoroughly exhausted because she's trying to run around and try to pay bills and everything else. And it's like, wait a second, what are we doing here? You know, what is going on? You know, the reality is, the largest segment of the population used to be baby boomers. Now it's what's called millennials. And the millennials' average age is 23. So what's happened now in our society is we've created a situation that has never happened before in our modern civilized world, but it's happening right now. And what's happening is our younger generation is much worse off today than us, are, you know, us 40, 30, 40, and 50-year-olds when we were in our 20s. This is unprecedented, and it needs to change starting right now. So you may ask, well, how do we change the situation? Actually, it's pretty easy. This is what we need to do. First, we need to wake up, and we need to become fiscally mindful, which means you need to ask yourself, why am I always spending money every single day? You know, it's become habit-forming for people. It's become something that is an emotional need to spend money. Now, what I mean is, too, it's a, you know, an occasional treat is fine. You can treat yourself, you know, maybe buy yourself a nice outfit, whatever, that's fine. But the key is you got to pay cash for the treats. And start paying down your credit cards. And lastly, start saving money. The $40 or $50 you will save by making those few changes I talked about earlier can be invested in good quality equity mutual funds every single month. Check this out. It's called dollar cost averaging. It means that you take a specific dollar amount every month, you invest it in equity, or that's another word for stocks, equity, stocks, whatever. A mutual fund is a basket of stocks. So I ran the numbers for you. If you took that $50 every month and invested it and you earned 10%, because on average the stock market has returned 10.2% over most periods of time, and we compounded that monthly, that will give you $10,462 in savings in only 10 years. Isn't that amazing? I think that's so cool. So that $50 a month invested monthly into a good quality equity mutual fund, compounded monthly, all that simply means is that you're not taking the money out. It's compounding because it's earning interest on the on the amount that's already in there. It's compounded, and it's going to give you over $10,000 in 10 years. Now, if you can set aside more money monthly, that's great. Go ahead and do it. That's awesome. That's going to help you even more. But the key is, and here we go, please hear me when I say this, saving money is the only way to break a poverty consciousness. That's the only way. It doesn't matter how much money you earn, how much or how little. What matters is how much you're able to be disciplined enough to save. Most people, and it's 95%, maybe it's 90%, 90 to 95% of our population, I forget the exact number, will spend every single dime they have coming in and then some. And we have to get disciplined, people. We have to get to the point where we go, all right, I need to wake up here. Why the heck do I feel the need to spend all the money that I have? You have to break it. It's not an income-level situation. Poverty is not. I've seen multimillionaires have a poverty consciousness because they spend more than they make. And I've seen people with very little means, like that wonderful lady I told you about, my client, who socked away $10, $15, $20 here and there and had $1 million in her retirement. So it doesn't. We're not talking the level of income that you have. What I'm hoping to share with you today is how you use the resources that you have. So I want to give you a couple tactics. If you can write them down, I think you might find them helpful. Number one, and I'll give these to you pretty quickly, spend less than you make. And that may sound, oh yeah, well of course you got to spend less than you make, but not many people actually know how to do that. That means being aware of how much money is coming in and how much money is going out. Secondly, only buy what you really, really, really need. We think we need things, but we don't. We want things. Needs are very basic. Wants are out of control. And when a want becomes out of control, you will never know where to draw that line because you will always want the next thing. There will always be another new shiny object. There will always be another thing to buy that sits and gets dust, that you have to dust. Drives me crazy. I've learned this in my life. Thank God. It took me a long time to learn this. But we can talk ourselves into buying anything. We can. You do it. Because we buy on emotion and we justify with our intellect. So we go out and we say, oh, I need a new, you know, I need a whole new a whole new towel set because, boy, my towels are, they're getting shabby looking. And then so we think, it's only $100 or $200. That's nothing. But you know what? It adds up because 2 weeks later, it's going to be something else. And then 2 weeks after that, it's going to be something else. And this stuff adds up. Okay, number three, treat yourself occasionally with a new outfit or a little mini trip and do so with cash. Buy your treats with cash. Do not put them on credit cards. Okay, number four, cut up your credit cards. That's a biggie. Just cut them up. That way you can't use them again. Number five, take a break from spending every so often and see if you can go a day, a week, or a month without spending any money. Give it a shot. Let me know what happens. Try for a day. If you don't think you can make it through a day, try for an afternoon. If you can do it in an afternoon, the next day, try another day and see how many days you can string together that you haven't spent money. Now, other than essentials like, you know, if you have rent or a mortgage, food, gas, that kind of thing, I'm talking about the extras that we spend money on. Next, save money every month, whatever you can afford. You have to get into this habit. If it's only $10, fine, save the 10 bucks. If it's if you have a month where if you're on a commission-based job and you got a big check-in and you have an extra $1,000, great, put the $1,000 away. Save what you can, but save every month. Now, all of these, of course, require discipline. You just have to tell yourself, I can do this, and you can. You can do this. All of these tips and strategies can help you get your finances back on track and healthy again. There was a neat article that I read about a couple in Calgary, roommates, not a not a married couple, but roommates, that they wanted to see if they could not spend money for a year. And so they did. They went out and they said, okay, we're only going to spend it on essentials, you know, rent. They were renting an apartment, food, electricity. That was it. They did not spend it on gasoline. They did not drive their car for a year. They took public transportation or walked to work. They did not go out with their friends. And it was an interesting article because they said they were surprised as to how many friends, quote unquote friends, they actually lost because they weren't out partying with them and out having the fancy dinners and drinking wine and spending that kind of money. And he saved nearly just over $55,000 that year. Now, he had a higher level paying job than she did. She saved $14,000. And it was interesting. She said, after that experience, she said, I've developed a lot of mindfulness in my life. Spending money was the theme, but it's made me conscious of what I do with my time, how I get around. What I'm spending time, energy, and money on is kind of interchangeable. It shows where you put your focus or attention. I used to constantly want things more, better, nicer, and cheaper. I haven't done that in a year. So my life is richer. It's a spiritual outcome, which I didn't expect at all. How neat is that? So she, you know, they have this experience, and she says, my life has become richer and more spiritual. You know, and I want to ask you, let's, if you strive for spiritual, let's just put it out there, okay? If you strive for spiritual satisfaction over stuff, just think about that. Having a satisfied life over having stuff. That focus doesn't cost you a thing. Now, it does cost a little time. You know, maybe you spend, let's say, 10 minutes every morning before you start your day to get centered and focused. You know, 10 minutes in silence, whatever that looks like for you, so that you start becoming aware and conscious. And then what it allows you to do is to not spend money to fill an emotional need, because emotional needs don't get fixed with spending money. We think they do because it creates a quick fix. It creates almost like an adrenaline rush. Endorphins actually are sent off in the brain because you're like, oh, it's so excited. Now you bought something new. Well, we know how quickly that the newness wears off. And then we know we're stuck with the bill, right, that we have to deal with. So in order to do this, you have to start getting conscious. Ask yourself, before you go out shopping, what is it that I'm going shopping for, and make a list of those things. The reason retailers crank up the music so loud when you – I know all of you have had this experience. You go into a shop, whatever, some kind of shop, mostly it's clothing. And the music is so loud because they want you to become disoriented. They don't want you to be focused on what you're there to do or what you're there to get. They want you to forget. So the music is designed to get you disoriented. And then they do smart things, like they'll post these big sale signs out on the window in big red bold letters to get your attention, because the brain is automatically wired when it sees red to stop and focus. So they know that. That's why they're always in red. So the brain, that's why red stop signs get your attention. So they get your attention, and they always post the sales rack where? In the back of the store. So you have to walk all the way through the entire store to see the sales rack. And then they always say, oh, spend more, save more. That's another tagline that retailers use. Spend more, save more. Well, the reality is you're not saving anymore. When you spend more money, you've lost that money. It's gone. You've lost the opportunity to invest that money once it's spent. So there's no such thing as spending more and saving more. It's an absurd thought. But they want you to think that you're saving all kinds of money. And then there's this thing that we tell ourselves, oh, but it's on sale. You know, I've got to get it because it's on sale. It used to be, it's marked down from $400 all the way down to whatever, $50. Well, you know, that's your judgment call. And that is something that you can continue, you know, for your entire life to get caught up in that kind of thing, because that's designed to also kick into your a part of you that for the more reasonable and sensible people that go, yeah, it's okay, you know, it was 400, I didn't spend the 400, but I spent the 50, you know, I got this thing, and you've already justified it. So what's happened in that transaction is they've hit both needs all at once. You bought it on the emotion, and then you've justified it even before you got to the cash register to pay for it. So retailers are super, super smart. They're stealth-like in their ways. You have to become aware of what's going on before you enter the store. So now you're made aware. This show has brought to light all of these little tricks that retailers do to separate you from your money. Hopefully, you will not fall prey to this, that you will stay on target. You go there and get what you need, and then you get out. Okay? Just get out. Whew, lots of stuff on the show today. So there we have it. I hope that these tips have helped. Again, you know, you may say to yourself, well, it's only $50 or $100. What good does that do? Well, it does a lot, as I gave you in my example. Putting that money away every single month, has to be monthly, in an equity mutual fund that will grow at a decent rate, and keep it in there. Don't pull it out. This is your savings. After 10 years, like I said, $50 compounded monthly at a 10% annual rate of return gets you over $10,000 in savings. Imagine putting $500 a month in, or $200, or $100, whatever it is. Put it away and leave it. Okay, that's what I had to say about that. For those of you who are in the Calgary area this weekend, I'm teaching a course with my dear friend Cindy Smith. It's called Spiritual and Financial Freedom. We have two spots left, so email me right away if you're interested. My email is Jaden, J-A-D-E-N, at jadensterling.com. That's my email. I would love to connect with you and see you there. Next week's topic is the art of personal mastery, what it takes to have a life that you love. Woohoo! The art of personal mastery, what it takes to have a life you love. So I'm shifting gears a bit. Of course, naturally, part of the show will include talking about soul's purpose. Got to talk about that. That's a big, hot topic. May even walk you through a little guided meditation as to how you can find your purpose and stay on track with it. And then from there, after you find your purpose, it's then getting into how to make money doing what you love, which is what my show is all about, Soul to Profit, right? How to discover your soul's purpose and then create a profit from doing what you love. And that is the theme that is spread throughout my shows. I hope you're starting to see that and hear that. And also, I hope that you're sharing my show with your friends, family, neighbors, colleagues, coworkers, anyone that you bowl with on Wednesday nights or hang out with at the movies, whatever. Tell them about my show. It's on iTunes as well as Stitcher Radio and SoundCloud. So it's getting out there. As you know, I do not have commercial breaks throughout the show, so I'm giving you high value content uninterrupted, and it really does help when there are more, you know, as I build the audience for the show, more and more listeners calling in, and because I love to hear what people have to say, and I love to hear what's happening in your life and what you're dealing with right now, you know, maybe any struggles or frustrations that we can assist with. I'm always happy to do that. As many of you know, I'm the creator of the Manifesting Wealth and Wisdom Daily Oracle Card Deck, which is available on iTunes as an app. So you don't have to spend $20 on the card deck. You can get it for, $6 or whatever it is. It's a wonderful app. They're accurate. You scroll through the cards. You ask a question about anything. You can ask about your life, about your business, about your relationship, about your whatever, work, situation, doesn't matter what the question is. As long as you ask and then scroll through the cards, it will give you an answer. So please check that out. Again, those are called Manifesting Wealth and Wisdom Daily Oracle Cards. So everyone, I hope you start, as the show winds up, implement some of the things I talked about. Start unplugging those things that you're not, the devices that you're not using. Start becoming aware of how you're spending your money and why you're spending your money. And start socking some money away every single month into a good quality equity mutual fund. We'll talk after 10 years and it'll be like, woohoo, I've got my however much money in savings, and you'll be a happy camper because you've overcome the impulse to spend and you were disciplined enough to save. So pat yourself on the back. It's going to be a great, fun time. And congratulate yourself. It's awesome. We're changing lives as we speak. Have a wonderful time. And also, as you change, so do your kids. So if it's not enough to do it for you, do it for your children. Have a great week, everyone. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.